Good morning. How are y'all doing? I praise God for this music stand. If you were here at the first service, they had Mike's normal podium up here. And I don't know if you've realized it, how long you've been coming. Mike's kind of a high-tech individual. And his podium, so he could put his iPad right into it. It's really cool, but it won't hold paper. And I was up here fussing with it, and I finally just abandoned it. And I was reminding the people when Jason gave his message up here, he's not real techie either. We teased him for a couple years before he finally got a smartphone, but because he couldn't get any of the messages we were sending him. But the truth is, if this paper burst into flames and we're not able to go on with the service, we got other issues. So this should be good, so we should be good to go. We're in the third week of a four-week series called The Power of Routine. The first week, Mike talked about engaging with Scripture, reading your Bible. He gave us a great Bible app to use. I don't know how many people are using it, but it's really good about taking you through the Bible, and it has some videos and things. So I encourage you, if you haven't got that, to check with us, and we'll get you the information so you can get that app. But kind of the key idea of that message was the importance of not just reading the Bible, but to engage with it, to actually do the things that you learned. And that is the big trick in life, isn't it? I mean, we come to church every week, but actually applying what we've learned, that's the real trick. The second week was on gaining focus. It wasn't just on fasting, but fasting was part of it. Cutting down on your distractions, reducing the clutter in your life, and finding a way to kind of minimize the busyness of life. And there's a real trick to that, too. And the key idea with that was to train yourself to be godly. And that's tough. I mean, you know, a lot of us, well, me not so much lately, but a lot of us train ourselves to be physically fit. But sometimes we kind of fall down on the side of training ourselves to be godly, to be spiritual people. But we're supposed to do that. We're really given that responsibility to train ourselves to be godly people. This week is on the power of prayer. And it goes right in with the power of routine. And I tell you, something about routine is it's such a, we don't use that word a lot, but it's an amazingly powerful force. And I used the illustration this morning. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, I moved here from Arizona. I lived there for 15 years, and I hiked in the Grand Canyon. I've been down to the river down there. I fished on the Colorado River. And you see this canyon, and you're like, there's no way that this river carved out the Grand Canyon. But geologists tell us that's the case. I mean, it looks like it would have took 10 rivers to carve it out. It's the most amazing thing. If you've never seen it, you need to. Put it on your bucket list. But what was it? It was the routine of the flow of the river. You know, storms sometimes helped, but just that steady, constant flow, the routine. So there you have it. Routine can be amazingly powerful. Another place out in the west, out in Arizona, is called Monument Valley. Have you ever seen that in some of the old westerns? Monument Valley, almost every John Wayne movie. I'm dating myself here. You're all blank. Almost every John Wayne movie had Monument Valley in the background. And you know that Monument Valley was carved by the wind. Not by a river, but by the wind. The routine of the wind carved through those canyons. And just gradually, the wind and the storms. But there's not a lot of rain in Arizona. It was mostly the wind that made that beautiful place. And when you see that and you say, it was the wind that did that. Yeah, but it was the routine of the wind. Not just the wind blowing one time. Not just the river flowing through the Grand Canyon one time, but the routine. So let's harness the power of routine for Bible reading and for fasting and setting aside some of the things that clutter up our lives. And let's harness it for prayer as well. There's amazing power in routine. You know, it's interesting this morning. I put my foot in my mouth big time. One of the stories that I wanted to tell you all about is I'm kind of a fitness buff. I've done a lot of running in my life, run some half marathons and some relays over 200 miles. And yet last winter, I was in a car accident, and it really kind of, at first, it didn't seem like any big deal. I came to church that night to a meeting, and we were kind of laughing about it, and Mike was like, well, maybe you're not okay. And I thought I was okay. Well, over the next course of a couple of weeks, found out I wasn't okay. My back had really gotten messed up. And I kept trying to give it time to recover. And as soon as I start to exercise or run again, I'd kind of spiral downhill and I couldn't hardly move. And I'd have to wait a few more weeks. And this went on for 6 or 7 months until I got with Greg Hampton, and he's kind of put me on a routine, a slow, gradual routine. Started with really lightweight, walking. God, I hate to walk. I like to run. I mean, I'm on the machines, which I don't really care for anyway, and I'm lifting 20 and 40 pounds. I mean, it was so embarrassing. You know, here I am, all these muscle guys in this gym, and even Greg, you know, you've seen his arms, Greg Hampton, and he's got me lifting, just going through the motions. But you know what? The power of that routine has actually fixed my back, and now I'm starting to be able to run longer distances and lift bigger weights. Well, I was telling a story in the first service, and I'm kind of looking over there where my wife's sitting now, and the girl who hit me in the accident is here in the church. Hopefully she's not watching online now. I've never seen her in the church before. I'm not going to say her name or anything like that, but it was embarrassing in a funny way. Her brother was here as well, and he thought it was hilarious. I'm sure she's going to have a hard time. But anyway, the whole importance of this story is just that routine is way more powerful than it looks on the surface. Those 20 and 40-pound weights that I was lifting at the wellness center just a couple of months ago, I'm lifting a lot more than that. In the half a mile that I was running, I'm running a lot more than that. What did it? The routine. And very slowly, you add something else into your routine. Just like the Bible says, add to your faith patience, and through patience, gentleness, and these things. You want to take routine, you know, really make it a part of your life. These habits, these disciplines, they're called. And then add a little bit as you go along. I've helped people with their running over the years, and I've seen people who, you know, they want to go, just like I did when I started. They want to go and just run like Rocky at the end of the movie Rocky, where he's just sprinting wide open up the stairs there in Philadelphia. And, you know, he didn't start out that way. If you saw the whole movie, so Rocky had a hard time running at the start. And you don't want to overload yourself. You know, after the service, don't run out and try to pray for an hour. I mean, that'll be the last time you pray for a while. You know, add a little bit at a time. Work these things into your schedule. But the important thing is that you do it and you create a routine, because there's power in the routine. All right. Let's go back into prayer now. Let's cover it. I want to first show you scripture in Philippians chapter 4. In my men's group, this is one of our most popular scriptures. We go back to it a lot of times because as a father and as a husband, there can be a lot of worry in your life. But this scripture says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Read that again, that first line. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So how many of us do that? We never worry, and we pray about everything. It's pretty clear that that's the way we're supposed to be. But it's hard to make that a routine. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's an amazing promise. That if we pray about everything and tell God what we need, remembering, kind of reminding ourselves, I think, in our prayers, remembering the other things that he's already done for us, he'll be able to give us peace, and peace beyond what we can appreciate or understand. And his peace guards our heart. You know, I'm not a big worrier. You can ask my wife. She worries about everything. I try not to worry about anything. But there's a little secret. I'm not a very good sleeper either. And about 3:30, 4 o'clock, almost every morning, I wake up, and I'm transformed into one of the biggest worriers you'll ever meet. And I think it's just because the rest of the day, I'm busy. I keep myself active. I'm doing things that help kind of keep the worry down. But when I'm laying in bed, wide awake, man, I can worry. I can worry with the best of them. I don't have this peace. But you know what? I've been a Christian over 30 years, and I've read that verse thousands of times. Not dozens of times or hundreds of times, thousands. So why isn't it working for me? Is there anybody else in here? I hope I'm not the only one that has trouble with worry, anxiety, and forgetting to pray about everything. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Before we get too far into it, I want to show you something. I've got the coolest little thing. Has anybody ever seen this on TV? Close it like that. You know what this is? There's a lot of infomercials. See, I get up at 4 o'clock, I'm watching infomercials too. You open this like this. It's a lantern. It's a wireless rechargeable lantern. You can actually charge your phone off of this once it's charged. It's got a couple different phases. You push this button and it'll go through warning lights. One flashing red, just steady red, or dim white, or it's a really bright white because it's LED. This is a wireless recharging light. I think it's the coolest thing. Only costs a few dollars. Does anybody see anything wrong with this? Is there something missing? Yeah. That's not what I think of when I think of a light. You know, this is how you're supposed to turn it on. I've seen the infomercials. There's no light coming from it. So, looking at this, what good is it? If it's a light, that there's no light coming from. What's the problem? Remember I told you it is rechargeable. It's wireless. You don't have to keep a cord hooked up to it all the time. You have to charge it. Some point in this thing's life, it has to be connected to the power source. So I'm going to get Chris. Hopefully he's still here somewhere. There he is. Oh, you're doing two things at once. Take this back here, Chris. Charge it up, and then we'll bring it back up here in a little bit. I tell you what, folks, we don't want to be a light that doesn't have any power. You know, these electronic instruments up here and these lights, they are no good without the power that's provided to them. You won't get any sound out of anything except for this thing. A little bit out of the guitar, but it won't be enough for this room. The lights need power. The light bulb, is really nothing on its own. And that's true with us as well. We need the power source to be provided. And how do we get that? How do we get connected with the power source, with God? Well, one of the most important ways is prayer. You take the other stuff that we've already talked about, the fasting, the scriptures, the cutting down on the confusing things, the busyness of life. That's not really that effective without being connected to God at the same time. You know, we all know people who know the Bible inside and out. There's scholars that could quote it, almost the whole thing. Just like that scripture there, I could have quoted that off the top of my head. But I don't pray about everything. We have to be connected to the power source. We have to be recharged. We are, in essence, wireless, rechargeable, spiritual beings. Jesus said we are the light of the world. But what good are we if we're not charged up? All right. Let's look at some scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Isn't that pretty amazing? I mean, you think about it. Who here bounces boldly and confidently into God's presence? I mean, it's kind of a frightening thing to think that you could enter the presence of the creator of the universe, boldly and confidently. But we can, because of Christ. And that's the first of your notes in your bulletin. We can pray boldly. We can pray boldly because we know God is powerful. You know God is powerful. He's created everything that we see. He's capable. He can answer our prayers. And he loves us. That's important that we know those three things. Because if we forget any of those, we can't really pray boldly. We're not even sure if it's worth our time, worth the effort, if God's even listening, or if he even really wants us to have good things. He wants us to have a good life. We need to know those three things. So let's look at some more scripture that will help us to know those truths. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. Skip ahead to verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So you got to be connected. You got to have your roots deep in God's love. It's the really motivating force behind being a Christian. It's his love for us and his love for others. And that's what makes us strong. And that we may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete. Just like that light needed to be made complete. What made that light complete? When it has a power source. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us. See, there's the power again. It's his power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All right, that's good stuff. That's telling us about God, that we can trust with him, that he's powerful, he's capable, and he's loving, and that we can know those things in our own life. Chris, did you get that light charged up? All right. So hopefully it'll work this time. It's just like prayer. Sometimes you don't have to charge it that long. You don't have to pray that long. You know, I kind of learned a long time ago, sometimes you just got to pray on the run. You know, a situation comes up and you aren't expecting it, and you gotta be charged up already. That's the way this light's supposed to work. It can be a little dimmer. You can, when there's trouble. But this light is now something, isn't it? It's not worthless anymore. It's got the power running through it. And that's the way we want to be. We need God's power flowing through us, giving us strength. I'm not telling you guys anything you don't already know. But it seems so difficult to connect with that power when really we've got an amazing capacity for routine. You know, we can see that, apply these things into our life on a routine basis, and we can be transformed. I want you to imagine with me, if all of us were charged up all the time and we all had our lights fully bright, we're not hiding them, what the difference might be in your family, in your household, in your place of work or your school or in this community. Imagine if right now, if all of you had one of these, it would look different in here, wouldn't it? Of course, somebody coming in from the outside might think we're a bunch of nuts, but they probably already think that. You know, I'm an avid reader of Max Lucado. I think he's a great author. And he talked a little bit about light. He said, God promises us as a lamp to our feet, but not a crystal ball into the future. We don't need to know what will happen tomorrow. We only need to know that his grace is enough to help us. And that's the way this lantern is. If it was pitch black in here, this lantern wouldn't light up the Cornerstone Cafe. But it would be enough to keep me from tripping, from stumbling, and probably help some other people as well. Sometimes that's all we have. Sometimes that's all we need. We can trust God. But he is the power source. The responsibility, this is the great news. The responsibility is all of us. You know, this light was useless when it had no power. It was just a plastic thingy, maybe a paperweight. But the power, when it's provided by God, makes it into something else entirely. Something that has a lot of value, a lot of use. And that's the way we are. We might have come in here with our past baggage and the things that we've done and the mistakes that we made and say, I'm useless. And you'd be right if it wasn't for Christ and his power flowing through you. And the way that we're able to latch onto that is because God wants to give it to us. He provided the way through Christ. You know, some people complain that Christ is the only way. Hey, let's celebrate that there is a way to get to God. Sermon note two. Often we don't ask God for what we need, or when we ask, or when we do ask, we ask out of selfish motives. That's kind of a bummer. When I put that on there, I was thinking, that's going to encourage people. I'm being sarcastic. But it's true. I mean, it would be great to think that if we just prayed, we would solve all the problems in the world. Anybody like the movie Bruce Almighty? You know, I'm kind of, on one hand, embarrassed to say that I like it, but I think there's such a good lesson there, especially when Bruce decided that he was going to answer yes to everybody's prayer. And it was funny because it made a mess of the world. Everybody won the lottery, so they all won $2.56. And one person was praying for it to rain, the other person was praying for it not to rain. I mean, there is just a collision of wills because everybody got what they wanted. So it is important that we know what God's will is. But we can be comforted by the fact that if we're connected to God, if we're spending time with him, if it's a routine, we'll start to know and we'll be less inclined to pray out of our selfish motives. Let's move over to James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage wars to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. And I mean, I confess I'm as guilty of this as anybody. You know, back in Philippians it said, pray about everything. Sometimes, though, we don't even ask God. And then sometimes we ask, and we want to control the answer. We want to say, okay, God, this is what I want, and this is how I want you to answer it. I need a new car, and I need it now. And it needs to do this and look like this. Because I know what I need. Hopefully, like in Bruce Almighty, we don't always get answers to everything. But the important thing to remember here is that we don't have to stumble our way all along. We can, if we continue in the scripture in James, we can be close to God and know his will. Verse 8, come close to God and God will come close to you. Think about that. Just that sentence. That's an amazing sentence, an amazing promise from the scriptures. It doesn't say, do everything right, never make a mistake, never sin. Doesn't say any of that. We're just to come close to him, to connect with him, to recharge like we did with that lantern. That's our responsibility. And if we do that, he responds. He'll come close to us. Let that sink in for a little bit. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Then the verse goes on and tells you some things you need to do. But he doesn't tell you to do this stuff before you come close to him. He kind of leads you through the other things once you've come close to him. All right, sermon note three. Moving along pretty quickly here. We can have a great relationship with Jesus if we listen and respond. I'll tell you a story about that. When I was preparing this sermon over several days. One morning, I was really getting into the scriptures. I was having a good time. And I looked at the clock and I realized, I'm going to be late to work. Well, I'm self-employed, so my boss gives me some slack. But I like to be there at a certain time. I want to get things going. I'm a morning person. I kind of realized I'm going to be late. Let myself off the hook. Kept on working on the sermon until I felt like it was a good breaking point. I got my shower. I started getting ready. I started to go out the door. Had the car warming up. And I felt like I needed to wear my coat. Now, I mentioned before that I'm from Arizona. I'm not from Arizona, but I lived there for 15 years. I hate coats. When I lived in Arizona, I didn't own a coat. When I moved out here, I froze a lot at first. Because your blood gets thinner, I think, when you're out there. But I can't stand to wear a coat. You'll see me come in here, and it'll be 0 degrees outside, and I'll have a warm shirt on and a vest, something like that, or maybe a fleece. I don't like coats, which I find kind of ironic that I've been helping with the coat drive downstairs. But we've had some coat weather, have we not? I mean, it's been cold. And that morning, it was 6 below wind chill, and it felt like 6 below. And so I said, okay, I'll get my coat. So I went and got my coat, started to walk out the door. Felt something tell me, get your gloves. Now, I got pockets in my coat. What do I need gloves for, right? The car is warm. Can I remind you, God, the car is warmed up. Well, he doesn't give up easily. So he said, go get your gloves. I didn't know where they were. I found them. Went downstairs and found them where I'd been working on some stuff outside. I started coming back up the stairs, and he said, get your ear protection. Now, not only do I not like coats, but I don't like hats. So I've got these earmuffs that you just go over your ear. They're not the real fuzzy ones, so don't picture that. These are little flat earmuffs, but they do good in the cold weather. So here I am wearing everything I hate. My earmuffs, gloves, heavy coat, and I'm still in the house. So now I'm on fire, which led me to make my next mistake. Just as I started to go back up the stairs again, I felt like I should put my boots on. Now, I love my boots. Ask my wife. She thinks I'm silly. But my boots are made by a company called Baffin, and they're good to 40 below. And I hate having cold feet. Ever since I moved out here, I have cold feet all winter long. I think that might have something to do with my age, but I'm pretending it doesn't. But I love my boots, but I don't usually wear them to work. You know, I have a heater in my office. Now, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, this bad roads, I bet you I'm going to break down. And I'm going to have to walk for help. And that's why God's having me do all this stuff. And I just kind of put my foot down, which is a stupid thing to do with God. And I didn't get my boots. I had these shoes on. So I go and I hop in the car, going down the road. Make a long story short, I'm driving along. And I kind of felt like, the roads are really bad. Be watching for somebody who might have run off the road. I didn't go a half a mile, and here's somebody off the road. Went up off the road. It's like, he must have really been going fast. Went over a little berm into some rhododendrons. And the rhododendrons caught his truck and actually kept him from going down a really dangerous incline. Knew telling what he had hit, a tree or something. Well, I get up there, and it's my next-door neighbor's son, who had borrowed his dad's truck. I haven't heard about that yet, but he borrowed his dad's truck to drive to work because his truck wasn't four-wheel drive. So I get out. He doesn't have gloves on. He's got a light jacket on. He wasn't listening to God. You know, he was lucky I was there. So we got the chain out, and we pulled him out of the ditch. And the rhododendron, like I said, kept him from having a lot of damage. And we went on our merry way. The interesting thing is, I went on to the office, got there late. My feet were cold all day long. Because I was out there working on that road, in the snow, in the driving wind, and once they got chilled to the bone, I was done. If I'd had my boots on, we'd have been good as gold. So the important thing here is just, it's not a routine, but because I was getting ready for this message, I was praying. I was charged up. and I heard from God. And if I would have listened and obeyed everything he told me, the day would have gone even better than it was. The neighbor was grateful. You know, he didn't know about my cold feet. But I'm telling you, we're going to go on to the next scripture here, Revelations. In the book of Revelations, this particular part of it, Jesus is telling John to write some letters to the different churches. See, write this particular letter, verse 14, write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. So who's the letter to? Real quick, it's obvious, it's to the church. It's to Christians. It's not to the people outside of the church. So remember that as we go on. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. So Jesus is talking to us Christians, and saying, step it up. You know, be on fire, be hot. But he's already told us how to get there. But he's going to repeat it here. Verse 20, listen to what Jesus is saying to us, to Christians, to the church. Look, I stand at the door and knock. So just imagine the door over there. Jesus is standing there. He's saying, if you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. So all we got to do is listen for him. Open the door. Remember, these are spiritual things. Open the door of our hearts and he's going to come in. He makes it real easy here. The power is from God. We just have to be open to let him change our lives, to let him change our routine. It's definitely different if Christ lives in your house. Is it not? I mean, you've got a guest who is going to change the way you do some things. A.W. Tozer was a longtime pastor, preacher. He was an author. I like this. He was a magazine editor. You know, if you know, that's what I am. I'm a magazine editor. And he was a spiritual mentor. And he learned the power of prayer. And I want to read you a quote from him. It's hard, I know, in a setting like this, in this group. But really, listen close to what A.W. Tozer said about prayer. See if you can envision a way to apply some of this into your daily routine. Retire from the world each day to some private spot, even if it only be the bedroom. For a while, I retreated to the furnace room for want of a better place. Stay in that secret place till the surrounding noises begin to fade out of your heart and a sense of God's presence envelops you. Deliberately tune out the unpleasant sounds and come out of your closet determined not to hear them. Listen for the inward voice till you learn to recognize it. Stop trying to compete with others. Give yourself to God and then be what and who you are without regard to what others think. Reduce your interests to a few. Don't try to know what will be of no service to you. Avoid the digest type of mind. See if this doesn't sound like social media to you. Avoid the digest type of mind. Short bits of unrelated facts, cute stories, and bright sayings. I mean, Tozer lived 67 years ago, not now. But they had those issues even then. Learn to pray inwardly every moment. After a while, you can do this even while you work. Practice candor, childlike honesty, and humility. Pray for a single clear eye. Read less, but read more of what is important to your inner life. And never let your mind be scattered for very long. Call home your roving thoughts. Gaze on Christ with the eyes of your soul. Listen closely to this. Practice spiritual concentration. It's true. I mean, these men of old knew that the Bible was true. They just said, you got to be connected. You know, connect is the theme for this church for this whole year. I can't remember us ever doing a theme for a whole year like that. But it's so important that we connect with God first, with the Holy Spirit, with one another, so that we get our lights shining brightly and we can take them out into the world. Otherwise, we're just a dim, dead light bulb. which really doesn't have much use. That's not a condemning thing. That's a wonderful thing that we don't have to be the source of our power, of his power. We can just leave it up to him. But our responsibility is to change our routine, to read the scriptures prayerfully, and reduce the distractions. So anyway, that's my message in a nutshell. We're going to pray here in a minute. There is a there's a prayer app that I use. You can get that on your smartphones, some computers, and you can enter in who you want to pray for over the next few weeks or months. You can enter in some situations that you need God to deal with. You can enter people's names that you want to see come to Christ. And then it will cycle through daily who to pray for that day. I found it really helpful. I mean, I sit there first day and it brought up my wife, Trina. And it was amazingly powerful just to spend time praying for her. You know, I didn't try to change the world. I just wanted God to bless her. And then the next day it was one of my children and so on. So the name of that app is Prayer Mate. Prayer Mate, M-A-T-E, if you want to get that. I'd highly encourage it. At least it will help you to develop a routine, didn't you? Turn it off. Just have you and God. We did mention that we've got a new life group coming up on prayer. I'm really excited about this. It's going to be right here in the church. We should have a childcare. And it's going to be just 5 weeks. But it's a great video message and the discussion about prayer and how it can change your life. And that starts in mid-February. So, folks, we've talked about the power of routine, and we've got one more lesson in this to go. But I just want to encourage you, you know, don't be burdened, and don't try to make these incredible changes overnight. Just let God use routine. Connect with him. It is important that you kind of resist the impulse to just stay clenched up and keep your lives private from one another and even from him. I mean, it's an amazing thing that you can commune with the God of the universe. But as we've shown in the scriptures, it's something that he desires. It's not something that we just have to wish we could do. He wants that for us. So now worship team can come back up. I want to pray for you if that's what you want. I'll be in the back. You can come up here to the cross and pray, and somebody will come and pray with you. We've got the elders here. You can bring a friend to pray with you. We've got the cards up here by the prayer box, if you're not familiar with it, where you can fill out a prayer request and drop it in there, and I promise you the elders pray over those every week. And then we've got communion. You can come up and take communion. We've got the worship. You can just sing along. But let's pray before we leave here. And really, folks, make an effort to pray about everything. And you'll see your lives will be transformed. It's just the power of routine. Anyway, let's pray. Father God, we're incredibly grateful that you care enough about us. You love us enough to want to be intimately associated with us. You want to move in, be our friends. Help us in our trials and our struggles. It's a frightening thing, Lord, to behold the living God. But it's such an amazing thing that you are alive. You're not just some stories from the past, but you're here right now. You want to help us now and in the days to come with our health, with our finances, with our friends, with our relationships, with our jobs. Every little detail of our life is important to you because it's important to us. So help us, Lord, as we come before you in worship, to just open the door. You're standing and knocking. Help us to open the door just a little bit more. And every day, just a little bit more. And let that routine become so commonplace, Lord, that it's just, thank you, Lord. You're here again. Good morning. It's ready to start another day with you. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate all you do for us. We ask that you help us to take these words and put them into action as we leave this place. In Jesus' name.